Well, it's good to see you all this morning. God bless you. You know me. I'm Gary. And Greg was going to introduce my grandson and his fiance. And can you hear me? I got the mic on. I may have it down too low. You hear that? You know, it's good to see you this morning, by the way, and I was thinking if there were fewer of you, I was going to relate to you a story, but I'll tell it anyhow, since I'm wont to tell stories. A man went to pastor a church, a new church, and his very first Sunday there was just one man that showed up for church, and the new pastor was saying, "I don't know for sure what to do. Should I preach or not?" The man said, "Well, sir, Pastor, I'm a farmer, and when it's time to feed my cattle, if one shows up, I feed it." So the guy said, "Well, okay, I'll preach." So he preached, and he preached, and he preached. And after a while, when service was over, the farmer came up to the preacher and said, "Oh, I didn't mention to tell you that if one cow shows up, I don't give him the whole wagon load. So I'll do my best to remember that I don't give you the whole wagon load this morning. How's that?" And so we'll have a nice time. I want you to look with me in Matthew, if you will, please. In Matthew chapter 1, we're just continuing Pastor's series in Matthew, only I had been planning to do this one for a while, so it worked out. And someone had told me that they were here last time, that I didn't preach when you were here that Sunday, right? Okay. She said, when the next time you preach, I'll be here. So she is, and that's good. But I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, that's New Testament. You know, it's your family tree followed by the New Testament. And here's what the scripture says, and I'm going to be using the King James Version today because, as you can tell, this Bible is nearly worn out. It's got my name in it, but Elaine has worn it out. So that's good. That's good. Someone has well said that if your Bible is well used, if your Bible is wearing, showing wear, your marriage likely isn't. And so that's a good thing, you know. I was watching Nisha dance up here, and I'm thinking, you know, that's good. Of course, you don't have to worry about Nisha very much. She'll dance a little bit, and then she has to stop and take a breath. But it's good to be here, and it's good to be looking at this portion of Scripture that the Lord is sharing with us here out of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2. And look with me, if you will. "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." Where this Christ should be born. "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that will rule his people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And God bless the reading of his word today, and God bless you that hear it today. You know, I was thinking as I was studying this sermon, aren't we something? We've even included religion in Christmas anymore. I heard the story of a lady who was up to her eyeballs in gifts that she had bought for her family, and she came past a store that had a Christmas arrangement in it. And she said, "Doesn't this just make you mad? They've just got religion in everything. Now they're wanting to put religion in Christmas." Well, praise God, because you see, we have to fight to keep Christ in Christmas. Have you noticed? We used to have Christmas celebrations. We used to have Christmas holidays. But now it's winter holidays, and it's no longer that we sing the songs of Christ is born in Bethlehem. We sing jolly old Saint Nicholas, and we sing all the songs of the world that doesn't include God. And when God is mentioned, have you noticed? I'm happy, by the way, and I don't know who to credit for this, but I've noticed that there is an increase of people saying, "Merry Christmas." And it warms my heart that people remember that this is not just a holiday. This is not just a celebration of snow and white and goodness of nature to one another. But it is, in fact, a celebration of Jesus Christ. And I celebrate him today, and I celebrate the fact that he is, in fact, the God of this world, and he is the Christ that we celebrate on this Christmas. I thank God for that. I would like us to look at these three men. No, I'm sorry. I would like us to look at these men, because somebody wrote a song that said, "We three kings of Orient are." And we have decided that there were three wise men, but we don't know how many wise men there were. We don't know where they came from. They certainly, I don't think they came from Japan or China or one of Orient. Are they came from the East? Where is East? It's not like East Chicago. It's not like East Philadelphia. It's from the East, afar. They came a long distance. Because they had seen this star and had come on a hunch. Listen to me. They had come on a hunch. They didn't know for sure. These were not Christ followers. These were not Christ worshipers. These were fortune tellers. These were men who were of Eastern descent, probably descendants of some of the people of Babylon. Back, remember in Daniel where God had shown the king that he was going to die, and that someone else was going to take his kingdom, and no one could understand or tell about that. So Daniel was called, and he told them what they could not know, and it became a tradition that they did not know. But on the hunch, listen to me, on the hunch that something big was about to happen with that star, they came far. How far? Well, somewhere, I believe, between Babylon and Persia, which could be around 900 miles. They made quite a trek. Do you know that? They came, more than that, they came not because they knew Christ, but because they were searching for Christ. Do you understand that not everyone that finds him because of a dedicated search. They found him on a hunch. I would like to ask this morning, how did you come to know Christ? Did someone tell you about him and it just suited your fancy, or it definitely spoke to your heart and God pricked your heart and your conscience? The scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2 that it is because of our conscience that we are brought to God. Is it because God had spoken to your conscience and pricked your heart and on a hunch you came to Jesus? Or was it because you diligently searched for him like these wise men did? Or was it like Herod and the wise men of Jerusalem? Do you know what? You know how far it is from Jerusalem to Bethlehem? About 5 miles. About 5 miles. These men came hundreds of miles, possibly 800-900 miles to Jerusalem from the east to find this Christ of whom the stars testified. And based on that hunch, they traveled a long distance, maybe a year. And they came to find the Christ whom this star represented. And I might tell you that the star was the star of Christ. It was not the star of the wise men. And I would also suggest to you that there were more than three. There could have been more than three. These wise men came from the east and they bore their gifts, but there were three sets of gifts, but there were three, literally more than three. So they came with camels. They came laden with gifts and supplies. They came laden with provisions for that long trip, and yet they came on a hunch. They didn't know for sure what it was. They knew there was a star. They knew that it had to have been the star of Christ, but they didn't know any of that other than Jesus Christ had come. And praise God, thank God, even though many people have tried to rule him out of Christmas, we have ruled him into Christmas. Amen. And as much as the world is trying to rule him out, we are testifying that this is the Christ that is born King of the Jews, born in Bethlehem, born to save the world. And we thank God for that this morning. Amen. We thank God for those who came and chose to follow him and give him the glory that is due his name. I thank God that he has given us that opportunity to do so. Whether we came on a hunch or whether we came like the men of Judea and Israel and Jerusalem. No, they knew the scripture. When these men said, where is he? It was Herod who sought out the wise men of his day and said, where is he that these people are telling me about, I don't know about? They said, well, it is said of the prophets that he would be born in Judea. They knew. But they couldn't make the 5-mile journey to Bethlehem to worship him. But these men came on purpose, with a purpose, and that was to worship Christ the King. Praise the Lord. How close we live sometimes to where Jesus is. But I want to tell you that for that, sometimes we seem so far removed from him. God bless you for understanding that Christ has come to speak to your heart and to my heart today, and to bring us the good news of Christ our Savior. He's real in this world today, and we serve him because he is real, not because he's 5 miles away, or not as in the wise men's case, that they came all of this way and served him because they were judicious in their search. And when they found him, they were joyous in their discovery, and they bowed and worshiped the Christ. That's the wise men. And I'm going to tell you, I remember as a young boy, and I don't remember exactly when this was, but I remember the first time I saw this was on a garage door someone had painted for the holidays, "Wise men still seek him." May I suggest to you that in our day and in this time, wise men and women still seek the Christ child that is born to save the people from their sin. wise men still seek him. And the wise of us today, whether we came hundreds of miles or whether we came a few miles in the snow, we come to worship Christ the King. Amen. Amen, we do. And then I want us to look for just a few moments at the gifts they brought. At the gifts they brought. You know, it is said oftentimes, it is hard to buy gifts for men. Have you noticed? It's hard to buy a gift for a man. A woman, you can buy a piece of jewelry or makeup or a fragrance or whatever. But for a man, sometimes it's difficult to find a gift for a man. Well, you ought to try this. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. That'll work. Gold, we understand. Gold, we understand. It's the coin of the realm. It's the thing that we all are happy to receive, gold. And it was so in this time, too. And we don't know how much gifts they brought, and we don't know how much gold they brought. But actually, quite honestly, the gifts that they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all were very valuable in that time. It is said that possibly that the frankincense and myrrh was more valuable than the gold. Personally, I'll take the gold. But at least I would like to explain to us a little bit about what this is all about, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They came bearing gifts of significance. That's my point. They came bearing gifts of significance. And I'll tell you what, we come to Jesus today bearing gifts of significance. The gift that they brought, the fourth gift, was that they bowed down and they worshiped him. With great joy they found him, and when they did, they bowed down. When they entered the house, I don't know how old Jesus was when they came. Maybe a couple of years old. We don't know, man. 3 years old, Elaine says. Well, she would know. How would you know? Huh? Oh, okay. This is her Bible, so it could be that. Yes, 3 years. But you can see that he came not to a manger and not as an infant, because it had been a long time there following that star. And when they had come to that place over that 900-mile trek or so, they entered the place where the young child, no longer a baby, where the young child was, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. And no matter when you come to Jesus, it's a good thing to bow down and worship him, to genuflex, if you will. Excuse me, is it? That means to bow your knee. I learned that. Probably from Elaine's Bible. To bow down your knee and with joy worship him. To worship this Christ who they had followed, his star. And it was not their star. I'm going to tell you again. It was not their star. It was the star of the Christ child. And it followed him wherever he went, first of all to Bethlehem and then to wherever else the star led them. But they followed that star and they worshiped him and they bowed down and sincerely worshiped the Christ child. And that's the gift that you could give him today. You may not have gold. You probably don't have frankincense, and I'm pretty sure you don't have myrrh. My grandson is here today, Andrew, I know him. I know that son. And he used to say that word, myrrh. Grandma, I want some myrrh. He didn't mean myrrh, he meant more. And when he was with us, he would always say, I want to go see my grandma. I want to see my grandma. But we're not talking about that kind of myrrh. We're talking about the kind of gold that honored him, what? As king. Gold was always a significant part of the kingship. As I say, it was the coin of the realm, and it was given to royalty. Royalty. Everywhere was royalty. I was just thinking, too, while we were talking about that, as I was just sitting back there thinking about this Christ whom we honor at this time of the year. We talk about the great condescension, how that he came and he was born in a manger. He was laid in a manger, born in a stable somewhere, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And we thought how great the condescension that is, that he would do all of that. But listen, he came from heaven. You want to talk about condescension, you just read in Philippians chapter 2. The scripture tells us of him that let this mind be in you which was also in Christ. I'm about to move this. Just tighten here, I hope. Yeah. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery but to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He came a long way to that manger, but he didn't come nearly as far to the manger as he did from heaven, because he left his throne in glory and all that he had, gold everywhere, gold throne, gold streets. We read and we hear about all that's gold in the heavenlies. Well, let me just say this to you. It was much further that he came from earth, from heaven to earth, than it was just to be born in a manger in Bethlehem. He could have and did dispense with all that, because he had already left everything there was to leave, and he came to us to save us. My pastor said once, he came not only to our neighborhood, but he moved in. He came and dwelt with us. And the scripture said, that tells us that he came and dwelt among us, and dwelt among us so that we might see him according to John chapter 1, and that we might touch and feel him according to 1 John, so that we might know him, this Christ born King of the Jews. So Herod was asking people, well, go tell me where he is. What did he say? So that I may come and worship him. Well, let me tell you this. He didn't want to go worship him. He came not with a coat and not with a piece of gold, but he came with a cloak and a dagger, because he intended to kill Christ, because he knew what you and I must know, and that is that Christ can't share his throne with anyone. Herod could not share that throne that he was sitting on with Jesus Christ. There was not room. There was no duplicitous throne there. There's no room for you and Christ on that throne. There is only room for Christ on that throne. So he intended to kill. He intended to kill the Christ. He didn't come with good tidings. He didn't come with good wishes. He didn't come with, moreover, with good attitudes toward Jesus Christ. He came to rid him of the chance that someone else might take his throne. I'm sure, as these people are all saying, where is he born a king of the Jews? Where is he that's born king of the Jews? Where is this king of the Jews? I'm thinking Herod probably thought, if I hear king of the Jews one more time, I'm going to throw up. He intended to kill Christ. He had been king of Jerusalem for, 40 years. And he wasn't ready to give up his throne. I'll ask us today. See, you got some water there? Thank you, sir. Oh, I'm going to get some, aren't I? I don't see it. There's no water there. I have it. Isn't it that same thing as three wise men? Or think about it. Thank you. You may have it, yes. Thank you, sir. So, he wasn't willing to give up his throne. And that's the way it is with so many people. They are not willing to surrender that place on their throne so that Christ can sit there, not beside you, but in your place. He's come to sit in our place on that throne. He is the Christ child. And I'm thinking, as I said, Herod probably thought, I don't want to hear this again. I don't want to hear that name again. King of the Jews. 40 years now I'm King of the Jews. And when he died, you know, you've heard this story and you know this, that he had many of the young children throughout all of Israel slain, not just so that he could rid himself of the Christ who would be his challenge to the throne, but also he was so hated and so despised by his people that he knew that if he died, there would be great rejoicing throughout all Israel. So in order not to have them all rejoicing, he had these children slain so that there would be weeping and crying and sorrowing among the people. Not for his death, but he wanted some sorrowing at that time. So praise God that Jesus Christ came not to share his throne with me and you, but to take his place on that throne and prove himself to be God Almighty, Lord God, Savior of the world. And so I thank him today that he has come. Herod said, go find him, tell me where he is so that I may come and worship him. He wasn't in a worshipful mood. He was in saving his throne mood and mode. So we thank God today that the angel of the Lord spoke to them and said, go home another way. And may I just suggest to you that any time you come to Jesus, you're going to go home another way. You'll go home another way, a better way, a way that leads to righteousness. God calls us to a better way on our way home. Hallelujah. So we thank God today that he does. Gold. Go. And frankincense. Frankincense, and I will not take the time this morning. I could take the time, but I won't. To tell you that frankincense is a fragrance that is always surrounding royalty. It's the fragrance that comes up before his throne at all times. It's that fragrance that we emit when we praise God. The scripture tells us of that. And myrrh. Not myrrh, grandma. But myrrh. I know, I got it. Everybody in church has it. Like. But myrrh, the anointing oil. When Jesus died, it was Nicodemus that brought 100 pounds of myrrh to bury, to wrap the body of Jesus, to do away with that smell. So we know that first of all, he was the King of Kings, and we honor him today that he is worthy of our gold. He is the prophet and priest that is worthy of our fragrance, the fragrance of our worship to him. And certainly, ironically, we know that he bore our sins, died on the cross, wrapped in swaddling clothes, yes, but also wrapped in burial cloth. And I thank God for those three gifts. But I'm telling you that the fourth and major gift is the gift of your worship to him. So let us do that today. Let us bow our heads and our hearts and thank God for the gifts that he gave. God, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, dear Lord, for all that you do. Thank you for the great gift of salvation, for leading us, whether by hunch or, God, whether by design. We thank you that you have led us to the cross of Calvary. We thank you that you've led us to that place where Christ was born. And we now have the hope of eternal. We'll go home another way. Hallelujah. We go home another way because of the Christ of Calvary. We thank you, Jesus. God bless you today. We see you at 8 o'clock tonight, right? back here to worship God on a candlelight service. Praise the Lord. Brother Jeff, if you'll come, and if there's anyone that would like prayer, come right ahead. I'll move out of the way, if I may. I don't know. Thank you.